Smile at me. Thank you. That makes me feel a little bit better. I'm so excited and honored that Anthony has invited me to share a message with you on this special day. Today is Mother's Day. And according to the internet, celebrations of mothers and motherhoods can be traced back to the ancient Greeks and Romans. Want to guess how much money was spent on making mothers feel loved last year? It was a lot. $36 billion. So Mother's Day in America has obviously gone the way of commercialism and consumerism. But this statistic also indicates that we deeply value the role of mothers in our lives. And today, mothers deserve all the attention and celebration because, as we all know, it's mothers who keep the trains on the track and running on time. Personally, I love being a mom. I have two daughters and a son. I also have a son-in-law and a daughter-in-law whom we claim as our own. But best of all, I am the grandmother, or Yaya, of a very special, almost three-year-old grandson. And my oldest daughter recently sent me this meme. Nothing has ever felt more true to me than this. And if you know, you know. Oh, goodness. As we get ready to read God's word, I want to especially invite the gentlemen here in this room to not mentally check out. The word of God has given, the word that God has given me to say is for every single person in this room today. So please turn in your Bibles or on your devices to the book of 1 John. I'm going to be skipping around in chapter 4. First John 4. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. We love because he first loved us. As infants, we come into this world asking a question: who am I? I grew up in a small town in southeast New Mexico, and my family went to a church of about 75. And that's the kind of church, if you've ever been in one of those, where everyone does everything to get the job done. And so as a middle schooler, I would teach the babies that were in the nursery a few times a month. There was this kidney-shaped table that had little seats cut out. Do y'all remember those? And you just pop the babies in, and that way you could handle everyone at once, and they couldn't get away. And we played with toys and sang songs with the same. We played with toys and sang songs, and we passed out these little bitty Bibles for their little hands. And every Sunday, we would start with the same song: Jesus Loves Me. Do y'all know it? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Y'all know that song? Yeah. That goes deep, doesn't it? Way back. Some of you might have sung this song as a child, or you sang it to your children or your grandchildren. For some of you, this was the very first theological truth that you buried in your heart. The knowledge that God loves you lies below the surface of your life like a low hum of truth. And just like things that have been a constant for us, it may have become stale, taken for granted, or lost somewhere in the pain of just being a human. You may know God loves you, but you may not be currently living as if you know it's true. Some of you newer to faith might find it a struggle to believe that God loves you. This may be because of the stories you carry from your life before Jesus that make it hard to comprehend such love. But wherever you are on the spectrum of internalizing this core truth, I'm here to say today, it is your most truest identity. I'm going to jump straight to the punchline of this message. I want you to know you are beloved by God. God says that is the truest thing about you. This is the essence of what we read in 1 John 4. Even before you came into this world, you were seen and known and wanted by God. No matter how you see yourself, no matter the identities you carry or the roles you play and the stories you believe and live out, you are seen and known and wanted by God. You are His beloved. So what does it mean when we say, God loves me? To answer that question, we must go back to the initial question we came into this world asking, who am I? Although our mothers are some of the first people who help us answer that question, the majority of you are here today because you look to Jesus for the answer. There is something about Jesus that you want. There's something about Jesus that you want to become like. And that something has to do with an identity that is greater than all the roles we play of mother or father, sister or brother, employer or employee. How did Jesus answer this who am I question? Chapter 3 of Matthew describes Jesus' baptism. When Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water. The heavens suddenly opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming down on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." This passage answers Jesus's who am I question for him. Jesus is God's beloved Son. Everything Jesus did in his days on earth flowed out of this reality. He walked in the fullness of his identity as his Father's beloved child. So what does it mean when you say that God loves you? Knowing that God loves you means you are his beloved. And whether you live as if that is true or not, your belovedness is the most foundationally true thing about you. Jesus was rock solid in his identity. He knew that he was God's beloved Son. This was at the core of his being. He loved his earthly mother and father, but God's love for him and his love for God surpassed all others. This is what led Jesus to respond to his disciples in Matthew 10:37, when he said, "If you love your father or mother more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine." Now, Jesus is not saying he didn't love his family. What he's telling his disciples is that his beloved status in God superseded all other forms of love. That love, that state of being, is what fueled his love for everyone else. So this is good news for us. Christ is the beloved one, and because we live in Christ, through his Spirit, we are also called beloved one. God lives in us and makes his love complete in us. 1 John 4, 9 through 10 says, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son for us." So who am I? I am God's beloved. This is who I am. This is the truth. The challenge, though, is to live like we believe that is true. So, what does it mean to live as God's beloved? The Bible tells one true story from Genesis to Revelation of God, His Son, and their Spirit. Tim Suttle in his book Shrink writes that when we encounter this story, it begins to recalibrate our hearts and minds. God's story becomes the story that sets our identity. I want you to think back to the day of your birth. There was a woman, and in her womb, God created you. She lived in a specific place at an exact time in history within a certain culture. She carried very unique to her thoughts, feelings, and desires about your birth. When you were born, her story immediately began to influence yours. And this is where Mother's Day gets complicated. No two people in this room has had the same experience being the child of a mother. Some of you hold stories that are healthy and loving and rather idyllic. Some of you hold stories that are filled with the deepest of pain and loss. The truth is that most of us hold stories somewhere in between that. Living as God's beloved means He rewrites the story of your life according to His unquestionable love for you. If Mother's Day and all its trappings carry for you complicated feelings, I want to acknowledge that you're probably in the majority. Some of you never knew your mother. Some deeply desire to be a mother, and yet that has yet to become a reality. Some of you have lost your mother recently. Some of you are mothers that have experienced the loss of a child or the loss of a close relationship with a child. Our roles as parent and children are at the center of so many of the stories of our lives. And the truth is, our culture doesn't help us navigate those feelings and situations very well. The commercialism of holidays such as today mingle with our realities and leave us feeling disoriented or disappointed or empty very often. For our family, a lot happens this week in May. In a 7-day period, we celebrate my oldest daughter's birthday, my birthday, Mother's Day, and Todd and I's wedding anniversary. That is a whole lot of identity markers wrapped up in 1 week, and has in the past created a certain level of expectation that's simply impossible to meet. Every 7 years, my birthday falls on Mother's Day. And back when our three children were very young, I remember one such day that was doomed from the start. I woke up looking for outward signs for my family that I was the most beloved one, the queen of the world, or at least from our family. It was just one of those life is too full weeks and no plans had been made and the kids were cranky and the celebration I thought I deserved got reduced to a quick sandwich at Schlotsky's on the way home from church. This was a no-win situation from beginning to end. Sometimes we get confused. That day, my core identity got entangled in my relational roles of wife and mother. Today, let's admit that our truest identities are not in the roles that we play, but rather how we search for answers to the question of who am I? I am worthy or I am unworthy. I am wanted or I am unwanted. I am loved or I am unloved. Our life is made up of stories lived out in the way we answer the who am I question. And our stories are, for the most part, played out through our relational roles with one another. As humans, we naturally look to the people in our lives to tell us who we are. Who am I? On the Mother's Day I just described, I spent it angry and disappointed and sad because I looked at the outward behaviors of my family and interpreted them according to my own thoughts and feelings in order to answer that question. I forgot who to look to for my first identity. Asking the who am I question in light of our most important relationship with God, Jesus, and Spirit helps us reorient and restory ourselves on a daily basis. In Christ, we boldly say we are beloved. Do you believe that? Do you really believe the Bible? Remember, 1 John tells us that the truest thing about God is that he is love. When we say yes to becoming a follower of Jesus, we are saying yes to God's love story. Last week, Anthony described prayer as a divine conversation that requires us to deeply know, feel, and embody God's love. God desires this deepest level of intimacy with his beloved. He desires that from you. Here's where you might be saying, okay, lady, I get it. But the point simply cannot be overstated. In Christ, you have been renamed. As a disciple of Christ, your identity as beloved is now the truest thing about you. And your trust in God as one beloved by him is a, if not the, key component to your process of becoming like Christ. Ruth Haley Barton sums up what is at stake when she writes this. You might think that your woundedness or your sinfulness is the truest thing about you, or that your giftedness or your personality type or your job title or your identity as husband or wife, mother or father somehow defined you. But in reality, it is your desire for God and your capacity to reach for more of God than what you have right now that is the deepest essence of who you are. There is a place within each one of us that is spiritual in nature, the place where God's Spirit witnesses with our spirit about our truest identity. May I suggest that one reason we avoid going deeper into relationship with God is because we don't fully grasp the magnitude of his love for us? Our view of God keeps him stiff-armed at a distance. Instead of seeing ourselves as beloved in his sight, we feel disappointed, judged, unworthy, and in our worst moments, even hated by God. A.W. Tozer famously said, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." Who is God? 1 John 4 says, God is love. What I think about God tells me what I think about myself. And what I think about myself, I think about others. The Pharisees got together and tested Jesus with a question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So why is it so vitally important for you to know your belovedness? Why is it important? Only in living as one beloved by God are we able to fulfill what Jesus says is the two greatest commandments. We are loved by God. And in receiving that love, and returning it to Him, we learn to love ourselves. And only then can we love each other. We were born into this world looking for love. That is why we make a big deal of mothers on days like today. This is something mothers are uniquely built for. They help their babies feel seen and known and wanted. As a speech pathologist, I have had the privilege of sitting in small chairs across small tables from hundreds of children. And after more than 30 years in this job, I can sense when a child is considered beloved by their family. And I can easily tell those who are not. We are shaped and formed from the very beginning by those closest to us. Jesus met Mary Magdala after his resurrection and asked this, "Who are you looking for?" He then said her name with the utmost tenderness. And Ronald Rollheiser says, in doing that, he tells her that what she and everyone else is forever looking for, God's voice, one-on-one, speaking unconditional love and gently saying your name. Why is it so important for us to grasp our belovedness? Because from the beginning of time, God designed us to be in relationship with Him first. For us to hear His, "I love you," with our hearts, souls, bodies, and minds. All our other most precious human relationships were intended to be but a reflection of God's perfect love. Beloved, you are seen by God. In Genesis 16:13, God is described as El Roy, the God who sees me. Psalm 139 says, "Your body was seen by God, even as it was being knit together in your mother's womb." You are not only seen, but you are known. In Jeremiah 1:5, God says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." Dr. Kurt Thompson writes in his book, The Soul of Shame, that when we come into this world looking for someone looking for us, and to have a conscious, embodied awareness of being known by God is a necessary feature of the life of loving God. You are not only seen and known, you are also wanted by God. 1 John 3:24 says, "The one who keeps God's commands lives in Him and He in them." And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. God loved us so much, He sent Himself to live in us because He wanted to be that close to us. So what does it mean for you to live as God's beloved? It means you are seen and known and wanted. I want you to hear me this morning. There is nothing you can do to make God love you anymore. And there's nothing you can do to make Him love you any less. Jesus tells us this, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. We are all just slowly learning to become like Christ as we follow Him. Living fully in our belovedness is the way we learn to love others like Christ does. This picture was taken on Mother's Day a few years ago. Is it up there? Yeah. This picture was taken long after the Mother's Day I described before. My oldest daughter had just driven home from college, and last-minute plans were being made for my birthday and Mother's Day. We ended up going to church and out to eat, and I told my kids what I wanted more than anything was to take a walk with them at the wilderness park. I realized I didn't want anything but to spend time with them. This picture is a holy moment, and it reminds me of 1,000 stories. Stories of 3 tiny infants who grew slowly in stages toward adulthood. I know how each one of them stumbled and stumble still in their becoming. And I love them all the more for it. This picture, though, mostly reminds me that God has seen me through all the stages and stumbles. And he just wants to spend time with me on my journey of becoming. We are God's children. We are stumbling in stages toward Christ-likeness. And like a good parent, God loves us when we try our best and when we make mistakes. He loves us when we seek him and when we get afraid and run away from him. God loves us when we make bad decisions and when we change our minds and when we fail miserably. What if we began every day by opening our eyes to this thought? I am beloved by God. God's love is not a theory or an idea. It is to be received into our bodies as firm foundation for our unique identities, our every story, and every role we play. Following Christ means we are to embody God's love. We become God's love so it can overflow into a world desperate for the good news that there is none, that there is more than enough for them to. The fellowship of God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit welcomes us into their dance of joy and goodness as their beloved child. It's a place of peace and grace and joy where we will always find a home. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to say a blessing over everyone, but I want to especially invite all the women in this room to come to the altar, which we've been practicing for, shouldn't be a surprise, and receive a blessing this morning of your belovedness. Let's pray. Father God, we are humbled when we try and wrap our minds around the love of your embrace. You are love. Help us begin to absorb the magnitude of this love so big that neither death nor life, angels or demons, the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything in all creation will ever be able to separate us from you. Settle our hearts. Settle our anxious hearts by your love. Quiet our fretful minds. Remove all the barriers that keep us from fully engaging you in the love that your Son made possible and pours out into us through through your Spirit. Father, help everyone here this morning trust your voice in their ear saying, I love you. Amen. I invite all the women to just come up and receive a blessing of belovedness. Father, Son, and Spirit long for you to join a loving dance of fellowship with them. May you tune your ears each morning to hear their voice of grace, gently guiding you toward the deepest truth of who you are. May you start each day by pausing to embrace your chosen place in God's heart. As you journey on the path of becoming, let the truth of your belovedness be the main storyline in everything you think, feel, say, and do. May you walk as one whose ordinariness has been transformed by the Creator who is love. When thoughts and feelings and the messiness of life chip away at your belovedness, may you bravely recall that you are God's precious child who is seen and known and wanted. May you walk in agreement with who God says you are, your truest identity. In Christ, you are seen and nothing is missing. Your needs aren't a problem. You are safe and secure. In Christ, you will be taken care of. You will not be betrayed. Your presence matters. In Christ, you are good. You are wanted. You are loved for simply being you. May you settle in a little deeper today, celebrating the one who links you in love to a vast community of beloveds. By gazing at the love of God, may it overflow in you toward others. By dwelling in the peace of Jesus, may you be a non-anxious presence in the world. And by asking the Spirit to be with you, may you behold the wonder of your neighbor's belovedness. For in love we live and move and have our being. You are blessed. Go in peace and love of God our Father. Thank you all so much for being here today. If you are a mother, there is a special gift waiting for you at the table in the lobby. Please don't forget to pick that up as you leave. Thank you. Have a wonderful week. Thank you for smiling at me today.